Hello, Ms. Baez. How are you?
I'm absolutely fine, thank you.
Thank you so much for taking out some time out of your, I'm sure, busy schedule to speak with me today. I appreciate it.
I appreciate it back.
So, Newark, New Jersey. When's the last time you were in Newark, New Jersey? That's what we're kind of plugging here, your show at NJPAC.
Well, don't ask me logistical questions because my brain cells are sloughing off.
Okay, I gotcha. Well, a few questions. Tell me what's going on. So, you know, I just got the Vietnam box set. Next Stop is Vietnam, and your tune Saigon Bride is on there.
Next Stop is Vietnam?
Yes, it's a huge, by Bear Records in Germany, it's a huge box set containing all sorts of Vietnam
concerts.
Right.
Uh-oh. I know the name. It doesn't matter.
I hope I didn't get them in trouble now.
No, I hope you did. But anyway, I'm always flattered when somebody takes something and redoes it. So what's on it?
Saigon Bride.
Oh, my goodness. It's one of the first songs I ever... Well, certainly one of the first I ever wrote. One of the two first I ever wrote the melody to. And the other was called North. And it was a woman whose name I can't remember who wrote, Nina Ducek. She wrote the words. And, you know, those were beginning of those years of Vietnam, the very beginning.
Right. Obviously, the protest song is one of your, obviously, your specialties. And how do you feel the protest song is as a tool now in modern times? I mean, you know, obviously we have our issues going on right now. How do you think it's working now?
Well, number one, I think the issues are overwhelming.
Right.
And number two, I think kind of the answer to your question is that there was a time period in our lives and in the world of about 10 years when there was this extraordinary talent, there was this extraordinary glue that we had to each other.
Right.
Part of it was Vietnam, part of it was coming from the civil rights. I think that the glue is what's missing right now.
Right. In other words, do you think even our sort of our modern media can, I don't even know if we're capable of distributing songs the way that you were able to then?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think what happened then was that this movement, also a folk movement, began and the writing began. And so that also, people want to repeat, you know, I mean, they want Woodstock again.
Right.
And it ain't going to happen.
No,
you know,
not.
We have to come up with something different. And it's true, there's not a medium for, I mean, there are probably a lot of very good songs being written by anonymous people. And because of the times, they have a difficult time being heard.
Right. How do you feel, you know, in comparing and contrasting the Vietnam era and today about just kind of what you see around? I mean, obviously, you mentioned that you feel things are overwhelming. Any other strange thoughts you may have had between the two times?
Well, yeah. Now we're in danger of killing off the human race.
Right.
I mean, that didn't occur to most of us then, I don't think. And that's fairly recent, but it's so real and so terrifying that we live our lives in denial most of the time. And if we didn't, we'd probably just blow our brains out. I mean, I believe we've passed the tipping point.
Right.
And so I don't know what that means for us. You know, I know that my granddaughter may never see a bee, and she may never, you know.
Yes.
There's so many things that kind of are terrifying. I think we just have to deal with them whatever way we can and go on being decent people and doing things for other people and having compassion and seeing how it plays out. But it's very difficult for young people with this kind of legacy to create.
Well, that's an interesting point. And I mean, what do you think you would be doing if you were 20 years old again right now in 2010? How do you think you would be seeing these things?
Well, it depends on whether it would be the real me, you know, which can't have come out of these times. So it's a difficult, if not impossible, question to answer.
I feel like it would always be the real you.
Well, I kind of do, too. But as you said earlier, I don't know how that would manifest itself now. I might be shouting in the wind in the wrong direction.
Right, right. What singer-songwriters do you feel right now in your personal playlist are sort of following authentically in your footsteps, both either musically or politically?
Well, I think the most obvious answer to that is Steve Earle,
right?
Who is politics? He's a left to me, but extraordinarily gifted and willing to put himself on the line in probably just about every way. And I would say that one of the problems now is the question of risk. That in my history, the only time there's been massive social change is when people were willing to pack up, you know, to back up their music with some kind of risk.
Right.
This is not a time in history when people are interested in risk. You know, honestly, the pendulum did swing, I believe, after the war in Vietnam. It began this huge swing, and we can't deny that this has been a very greedy time for a long period of time.
Right. Speaking of Steve Earle, what's are you guys planning on doing anything together soon? Or obviously I know you're doing that some performances, but I guess I'm thinking more of a recording or a writing.
Well, you know, I wish I could write like him. But you know, I don't know. It's I'm not sure how this voice is going to last, you know?
Mm.
And people say, oh, keep on singing forever. And I think, oh, Christ, that's the worst thing I can think of. You know, I do not want to wheel myself out on the stage and sing or try to sing. So I don't know how long. For me, it takes a long time to collect the songs that I would do on an album.
Right.
If I did another album, the chances are I would want him to produce it. And he hasn't read that in print yet, so hi, Steve.
Okay. Great. You heard it here first, folks. And certainly not, it's not that you haven't done enough, but what else is next? What else are you thinking about? What else are you, and I know you just sort of mentioned a little bit about that. You don't feel like you maybe want to, I think everyone would disagree that you couldn't go on forever, but what have you, you know, what else is out there for you? What are you thinking about?
Right now, I would say that I really have put my family first for the first time in my career. Certainly in the 60s and 70s, I never saw them. And so I think it's, my mother's 97, my granddaughter's 7.
Right.
And it's really important for me to spend time with them. And what interests me are things that I'm marginally involved in. You know, for instance, Amnesty International, I had a meeting with them the other day, and my main interest, my serious interest in that right now are the death penalty and immigration in this country.
Right.
You know, but the difference in me now and 20 years ago is I don't get on a plane and go flying off to whichever place I think I'm needed.
Which I always thought was very, very cool.
Thank you.
I love the American Masters documentary. It's really a fabulous film. What are some of your impressions of it? I know sometimes once you finish a project like that, you may love it or hate it or be middle ground.
Well, first of all, I had no involvement because that's the way they work.
Okay.
And so at the end, you know, seeing some things that really disturb me, trying to change them is a big hassle, but I did what I could. So I would say the beginning of that film showing the earlier years of my life is excellent. You know, it really is excellent. The trouble for me is that they skipped the whole second half of my life.
Right.
And there are things that I think are of interest, and I may work towards sort of doing a film with that part with some friends of mine who work for Frontline and are interested in seeing that part also on film.
Yeah, it sort of jumped from Vietnam to Sarajevo, right?
It did.
Right. Well, very good. I thank you so much for taking some time out of your busy schedule to speak with me. And the name of this program is called Good Music, and it's just we try not to pigeonhole too much what we play here. And you're certainly you really represent what we do here. And thank you so much for taking the time to spend with us today.
I thank you for having me.
All right, Ms. Baez, I appreciate it very much.
Okay.
And maybe I'll see you at that concert in Newark. I think I'm going to attend.
That would be wonderful.
Very good.
Thank you, Evan.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.